We interviewed about 500 dying patients, and in the last few years I have worked almost exclusively with dying children. Each time we have interviewed a patient, we take the patient back to his or her room, and then we sit together and we ask each other about our own gut reactions. And the more we listen to these patients, the more we learn to come to grips with their death, the more we become comfortable with our own finiteness. I will try to summarize now what we have learned from these interviews. I think the most important, significant contribution these patients have made is the fact that we have learned that patients do want and can talk about their own finiteness, that they do know that they are dying, and that includes about 200 patients who have never been informed about the seriousness of their illness. Patients not only know that they are dying, but they can also convey to us when they are dying if we are able to listen to them and if we learn to understand what we call nowadays the language of dying patients. A small number of patients is able to talk in plain English about their own dying. Patients who can say, my time comes very close now and it's all right, or pray to the Lord that he takes me soon, those patients convey to us that they have at least partially come to grips with their own fear of death. Those are the patients that all of us will understand, but they are also the patients who need our help the least. Patients who are too young to die, children, adolescents, young adults, or older people who are too afraid to die, will use what we call a symbolic language. In order to understand the language of the dying patients, I will have to talk with a psychiatrist for a few minutes. And this is to help you understand what the fear of death is. When I ask my audience what they are afraid of when they think about their own dying, most people say that they are afraid of the unknown, they are afraid of separation, pain, suffering, unfinished business, leaving loved ones behind. This is only a very small part of the fear of death and not the significant part. Dr. Wall describes the fear of death with an iceberg, where the tiny part is above the water and the most significant part is hidden, invisible under the water. All the things that we associate consciously with the fear of death is the little part of the iceberg above the water. And the real fear of death is repressed, unconscious, and that is the part that we have to understand. In terms of my own unconscious, it's very hard to conceive of my own death. I believe that it shall happen to me and to me and not to me. Or like a psalmist who says, 10,000 shall die on my left, 10,000 on my right, but it shall not happen to me. If I am forced to conceive of my own death, I can only conceive of it as being killed. This is very important to understand. In terms of my own unconscious, I cannot conceive of my own death, except if somebody or something comes and destroys me. This is important to understand when you listen to patients with cancer. Even if the cancer has been diagnosed early, even if they have a chance of a cure, they will always associate with their malignancy with a catastrophic, destructive, suffering kind of death. If I would translate the part of the iceberg that is under the water into one sentence, I would say the fear of death is a fear of a catastrophic, destructive force bearing upon me that I can't do a thing about. If you believe this kind of definition for the time being, then you will understand the language that especially children use when they convey to you their awareness of their pain and death. The symbolic language consists of two languages. Young children from the age of about 4 to 10 or 12 will use a symbolic number-four language. They will use drawings, pictures, teddy bears, dolls, dollhouses, symbolic gestures to